الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على العباد الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us as ashraful makhluqat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the paragon of his creation. The entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the service of insan, and insan has been created for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon our shoulders rights and duties, responsibilities. One is hukuk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we all understand and we know, to read our five daily salah, to carry out the ibadat, to stay away from the prohibitions that Allah ta'ala has made illegal for us, and not to surpass the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with that, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us also hukuk, the rights of man. The rights of man upon us, or the rights of mankind upon us, will come in accordance to the degree of relationship that we have with them. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights, we find that the rights of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam upon us. Then we have the rights of the parents that we all understand and we know, the rights of the wife and children, and the right of our relatives. These are all rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us, and we are, it's our duty to carry out these rights. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has expounded and explained in the hadith the different rights that are related to different people, and we find that some rights are such that even if there was no reward for those, for discharging those rights, then nobility demands that the person fulfills that right. For example, the rights of the father, the rights of the mother, because of their favors and because of their love and affection for the child, then nobility demands the person who has some sense of good, then he will fulfill these rights and he will serve these people, his parents, even if there was no reward in store for him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our deen is so beautiful. On one hand, we find the duties enjoined upon us, the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we find the immense reward from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for keeping up those duties, for fulfilling those rights. Great rewards are so for us. This is a great incentive for us to fulfill those rights. Person, despite knowing all this, does not fulfill those rights, then he has not appreciated the great reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in store for him. Like I mentioned, rights of our wives and children, rights of our families, these are rights that we acknowledge and these are rights that we know. But there's another relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us that is even more stronger than this relationship. Even more stronger than the relationship of our fathers, of our brothers, of our children, and of our families. And that is the relationship through La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This relationship is of a higher degree. It's of a higher degree, meaning this, that if a person has parents, if he has his father, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, or his children, or his brothers, or his families, but they against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oppose the ways of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a true mu'min will not love them. La tajidu qawmi yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhiri yu'adduna man hadda Allah wa rasulahu walau kanu aba'ahum aw abna'ahum aw ikhwanahum aw ashiratahum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will not find a nation, la tajidu qawmi yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhiri, you will not find a nation that believes in Allah in the last day, showing love and affection. You are duna man hadda Allah wa rasuluhu. Those people that oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then these people that have true iman will not show love and affection to them. Walau kanu aba'ahum aw abna'ahum aw ikhwanahum aw ashiratahum. Even though if those people who are opposing Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are very closely related to them, they have a very strong bond of family relationship with them, but iman demands that if these people oppose Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we do not love them. Even if they are their fathers, walau kanu aba'ahum, or even if they are their fathers, or their children, or their brothers, or their family members. And this history has proven this when we saw the lives of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how we find on one side is the father, on the other side is the son, and both of them have swords against each other, not because they are father and son, because one is the follower of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one is the enemy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It mentioned Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, his son had told him that, "Oh father, in the battlefield I had come across you, but I had paid cognizance to the fact that you are my father, and I had spared you." It's mentioned Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "If I had come across you in the battlefield, then I would not have spared you. I would not have spared you because you had opposed Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you were in the ranks of the enemy, and you were in the ranks of the enemy, and you did not have iman. That even though you are my son, so to say, even though you are my son, I would have not have spared you." Similarly, we find many incidents like this where between father and son and between close relationship, there is enmity and there is no love. Why? Because they do not have iman and they are not mu'mins and they are not believers. And those people that are believers, irrespective of who they were or where they had come from or whatever their background was, whether it was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, dark in complexion, person that's not an Arab, that had come not from Saudi Arabia, that had come from Abyssinia, whether it was Salman radiallahu anhu, who had come from Faris, these people, when they had entered into the deen of Islam, and when they had said, "La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah," the bond of Islam was so strong that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Salman, Ahli Bayt, min Ahli Bayt, Salman, minna, Ahlul Bayt, or kama qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Salman is from us and he's from my household. Salman, who hails from Faris, has a different language, different culture, comes from a different area, but the moment he accepts Islam and he comes in, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You are such a true Muslim," that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him that Salman is from amongst us and Salman is from my household. To show to us and to show to the Ummah that the strongest relation that we have is with the mu'mineen and with the believers, even more stronger than we have with our brothers and sisters. Obviously, if our brothers and sisters are mu'min, we have a stronger relationship. Why? Because one is the relationship of iman, the other relationship is the family relationship. But Allah forbid, if any of them have not accepted Islam and iman, then the relationship with our brother who has iman is more stronger than our friend relationship with that person of the family person, Allah save and forbid, who has not accepted iman. And this we see not only in the time of, not only from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in the time of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say the same culture. We find this multiracial society of Madinatul Munawwara, where people of different levels, people of different backgrounds, people of different standing in society, all closely knit and sitting there. As I mentioned, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from the Dawes, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu from the elite, from the Quraysh. Similarly, we find people like slaves that have accepted Islam, like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, all closely knitted here with the bond of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is what Islam demands and iman demands from us, that we have love, we have that feeling, we have that relationship, and we have that affection in our hearts for the brother next door, because he has La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah in his heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid us. If you look around, we see a different spectacle. We see that we are fragmented, and we feel that we are separated and broken up. Sometimes it is the language. Sometimes it's the language barrier. This person speaks a different language, I speak a different language. The ethnic group. Sometimes a different color. He has a different color, I have a different color. Sometimes a different background. He hails from a certain village in India, I hail from another village. Sometimes it's geographical boundaries. He comes from certain countries, I come from a different country. He comes from Pakistan. He comes from, for example, Saudi Arabia. He comes from Egypt, etc. Then, ma'azallah, Allah forbid, this has become... These artificial barriers have crept into our society, and we regard that person as different. He's not from amongst us. Why? He belongs to another country, because he has a different language, he has a different color, he has a different culture, or sometimes it is because of a different standing in society. This person here has a very high rank in society, this person has a very low rank in society, so they're not close to each other. Why? Because their standing in society is different. But we should remember, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our differences, our excellences, and our superiority can never be because of our color, because of our race, because of our nation, because of our background. It's only through piety and taqwa. But when it comes to iman, then innamal mu'minuna ikhwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers are brothers to each other. They are brothers to each other, irrespective of where they come from, what their color is, what their language, what their color is, what their language is, what their background is, what their social standing is. The fact that he has La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah in his heart, then he's my brother. And here we find that the terminology of the Quran is so comprehensive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just tells us in one word that innamal mu'minun ikhwa, the believers are brothers to each other. And every single person knows what does a brotherly love demand. What does the right of the brother demand? That you should have feeling for him, love for him, consideration for him, goodwill in your heart for him, and you should love for him what you love for yourself. This is what Islam teaches us. Irrespective of who the person is and where he comes from, as I mentioned, we should regard them all as one. Now we should look into ourselves, myself, beginning from myself, make some introspection that do I regard this person sitting next to me as my brother? Irrespective of who he is, irrespective of the difference between him and him, me and him, of his social standing, of his language, of his background, do I regard him as my brother? If I do not regard him as my brother, then I fail to acknowledge this fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he's your brother, and what he demands that we should treat them like our brothers. And for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put rights, has put a tremendous amount of rights of the Muslim, of one Muslim over another Muslim. There are so many do's and so many don'ts in order to ensure that this remains, this love remains. This love remains, this feeling remains, and we are not broken off with our brothers. Yes, our temperaments differ. Yes, we may have some altercations. We may have some arguments. Somebody may be very arrogant. Somebody may be very aggressive. That will happen. There may be no compatibility between me and the brother next door, but that does not mean that I don't respect him, that I don't love him. I don't have my feeling of goodwill in my heart for him. No. Yes, even if I had an altercation or an argument with him, that should be thrown behind my back and we should continue as brothers. We should not have malice in our hearts for those people that we cannot get along with. Or there may not be compatibility between me and a certain person. Yes, I may not be very close with that person, but I have feelings for him. I have love for him, the fact that he's a mu'min. If something happens tomorrow to hurt his feelings, I feel hurt. If something happens wherein he is, this enjoyment for him, this pleasure for him, this happiness for him, then I also become happy and the happiness of my Muslim brother. If this is happening, then yes, I have got feeling for that person. But Allah forbid that if I get happy on his downfall, then I have malice with him. I am wishing his evil. And we look at the rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put simple rights upon us, not difficult to carry out. And those rights are such, if the rights are carried out, then we find this love, the feelings of love will be engendered even more between the Muslim brothers, and even more between the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about the rights. There are so many. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned, I think, about 20 or 30 rights of one Muslim brother over another Muslim brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has condensed it. Some hadiths is 5, some hadiths is 6. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a Muslim has a right over the next Muslim. The first right is this: when you see him, when you see him, إِذَا لَقِيْتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you see him, then make salam to him. Make salam to him, thinking that this is my Muslim brother. It is his right that I make salam to him. Not because I know him. That may be an added reason for you to make salam to him. Maybe he's your old acquaintance. Maybe he's your friend, a companion, yes. But the fact that he's a Muslim brother, this demands and becomes our duty to greet this brother, to greet this person. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Bakhil is that person. A miserly person is that person, man bakhil is salam. That person that is miserly when it comes to salam. When it comes to well-wishing for his brother also, he is miserly. Here, unfortunately, we find the salam also is reserved. Maybe a very high-ranking person, a person is knowledgeable, person that's known in the eminent and prominent in society, everybody is out there to greet him. A non-entity, a person does not even know him, he walks past quietly and goes and leaves. There's no salam for that person. Isn't he a Muslim? Doesn't he have the right over you and over me that we greet him? Yes, definitely. But we fail to acknowledge it right. Why? Because we feel that we have to greet the person because of his prominence, because of his knowledge, because of his standing in society. We forget there's the right of every mu'min that we should greet him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to even greet even little children. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to greet. This was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here we should greet them. When you see a Muslim brother, you should greet him. And what do we get for the greeting? Rasulullah, if you initiate the greeting, time is too little to go into details. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Al-Badiyu bis-salam bari'un min al-kibr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is testifying that person that initiates the salam, he is free from pride. He is free from pride. Otherwise, he has no pride. Because one of the reasons that stops us from greeting that person, you feel haughty, and you feel higher, and you feel I am better than that person. Why should I greet this person? This is a non-entity. Nobody knows him. Sometimes, Allah forbid, he's not even from my country. He doesn't even speak my language. Does not even have my color. I don't even know him. This is also a very famous or very common thing, common reason. I don't know the man. La arifuhu, I don't know him. So why should I greet him? You don't know him. He is a mu'min. He is your brother. Allah says he's your brother. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. And you say you don't know him. Imagine how far we have stayed away from the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They tell us he's your brother. And ma'azallah, Allah forbid, we say we don't know this person. We don't know our own brother. So here it demands, a Muslim, seeing a Muslim demands that we greet that brother. This is the right of a Muslim. And what Allah Ta'ala gives us, as I mentioned to you, that when a person greets that person, if he initiates the salam, then he is free from kibar. If he initiates the salam, Allah billah, the person that makes the first salam, he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that person that will reply. This person that initiates the salam, he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what else will we get? The love will be created in our hearts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully mentions this in one hadith, where he says that you will not enter paradise till you do not have iman. We all know a person cannot enter paradise till he does not have iman. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that your iman will not be perfected and complete till you do not have mutual love for each other. Till you do not have mutual love for each other. This is another point to consider. How much love do I have for my fellow Muslim brother? Or do I say each one for himself and God for all? I am concerned about myself. Today, Allah forbid, my interests are all self-centered. I centered around myself. Everything is mine. My job, my health, my welfare, my happiness, etc. What about my Muslim brother next to me? What about that person that's in difficulty and hardship? Though he's not related to me, do I feel for him? Do I feel also uncomfortable when he's in difficulty and hardship? When like my son is in difficulty and hardship, I feel difficult. Do I feel that when my neighbor also is in hardship? When the Muslim brother is sitting next to me, do I also have that feeling? Here we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that till you do not have that mutual love, the habbu comes from mufa'ala. Ulama kiram know where there is hab, you have mutual love for each other. Till you do not have mutual love for each other, your iman cannot be perfected. Your iman cannot be perfected. And why should you not have love for our Muslim brothers? When they are our brothers, we should have love for them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, then should I not show you something? That if you carry out, this mutual love will be created. This mutual love will be created. Should I not show you something through which if you do, أَفَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Should I not show you something that if you carry that out, this mutual love will be created between you? And then after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the salams amongst you. Spread the salam amongst you. Otherwise, irrespective of who the person is your Muslim brother, you know him or you don't know him, see him, greet him with salam. Greet him with salam. In some hadiths is also mentioned that do not belittle any action, even if it is greeting your brother with a smiling face. Do not regard that as a small action. Do not even belittle that. How many of us smile? Ask myself. How many of us smile? How often do you smile when you see your Muslim brother? You smile and greet him. Today, unfortunately, this has become so rare in our society that suspicion is arised. Firstly, if a person begins to greet somebody he doesn't know, people are suspicious of him. Maybe he is begging. Maybe he wants a rent from my pocket. Maybe he has some sinister plots. Why? He's greeting me. It's become so uncommon, so extinct, so lost in our society. He's greeting me. There's something sinister. Sometimes a person doesn't even reply. He gives a suspicious looks and walk by. Doesn't reply, failing to fulfill the wajib. The sunnah to greet the person, but wajib to greet him. Wajib to reply to the greeting. Person doesn't greet him. Why? Because he wants to save his rent and cents, or because he feels suspicious of this brother. And obviously, if a person begins to smile, then what happens normally? Person turns back and look, maybe he's smiling at the person behind me and not myself. So often does it happen. So often does it happen. I think of one person always when I talk about this. When I'd come from overseas initially, then there's one person here in the society, Allah Ta'ala give barakat in his life, a very young person. And he sees me, he had given me, like you say, an ear-to-ear smile. And I also felt a little, not suspicious, but a little bit strange. The person doesn't know me, but that was his style. When he used to greet people, he used to smile. He used to give a warm smile. And there Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, do not regard that as a lowly act. Do not regard that as a lowly act. When you meet your Muslim brother, you should smile. How often do I smile? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and give me tawfiq. The person that you smile most, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a personality, I never saw anybody smiling more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the doctors say that it's easier to smile than to frown. It's easier, there's less muscles used when a person smiles. And what a great gift is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, a smile. Even a little baby understands the smile. Go play with a little old baby, 3 or 4 month old baby, and smile before him. And on the at once, and another occasion, go to him and take out your eyes or frown at him. You'll see it will also have an effect on that little baby. He also understands the smile, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ought to meet our Muslim brothers with a smiling face and with the salam that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine, is telling us to spread the salam. That will be a stepping stone for mutual love amongst you, and that will help you, and will be instrumental in perfecting your iman. And inshallah, when the iman has been perfected, you will enter into paradise. From way to way, to show us the importance of salam, that if you do it sincerely, do it with this intention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, that it will engender feelings and sentiments of love between us. And inshallah, that will strengthen my iman. Inshallah, enter into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the barakat of the salam, will enter us into paradise. Together with that, there are many other benefits, inshallah, and will continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. So we should take, in essence, cognizance of this relationship that we have to the person next door, sitting next to me, walking next to me, traveling with me, especially when he's a mu'min, that this man has rights over me. And there's great good for me, not only in this world, but in the hereafter as well. Not only in the hereafter, but in this world as well. If I am good to this person next to me, I fulfill his rights, and I'm concerned about him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show love to me. He will fulfill my needs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill my needs in such a day when there will be nobody to help us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many benefits that I mentioned. If you do for your mu'min brother, apart from smile, I'm digressing a little bit. Why? Because we fail to understand the value of doing good to my Muslim brother. In the day of judgment, there are many actions. A person carries it out here. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay you on the day of judgment. Will repay you for this little act you did for your Muslim brother on the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.